Yesterday we already started with these symbols a little bit, how this transformation of the heart can happen. And the Maharaj also mentioned the butterflies, how important symbols are in this transformation, or how can we, if we meditate on the transformation, how the butterflies actually come butterfly. We can see how we can purify it with this fire we already also spoke about, from this
caterpillar
through this buba or cocoon, yeah, into butterfly. So behind all these symbols are hidden a little bit also the meaning, why actually there is 6 butterflies, or there is 16 butterflies, and the last are 32 butterflies. And here are, behind the Maharaj, 16. And there, around the Prabhupada, are 32. So, do you have any idea why it's can be that? What story can be hidden behind that? Okay, I will give you a hint. Starts with Krishna and Radharani, right? And when we enter, I don't know if you notice, there are 2 butterflies. One blue and one gold, pearl, white. So, you know, Krishna and Radharani, right? Blue Krishna and the gold Radharani. And when we approach here, well, we are mostly now like gusenica, caterpillar, right? But here on the first stage, we noticed 6 big butterflies. Any idea what can be these 6? Right, 6 Goswamis. They open us actually a space, or show us the path where we can go, right? And then we come to this middle area where is these cocoons and already some butterflies. 16 is japa, right? And there is 13 cocoons. 13, any idea? From the alchemy, we all also spoke about alchemy. Okay. In these cocoons, we can do actually the transformation with what? With help of a great mercy of Radharani and support, and be in a safe place under the shelter of our gurus and Krishna and Radharani and all Vaishnavas, so we have a safe space to do our transformation. And then hopefully there we will become butterfly. So each butterfly is unique, and perhaps you can use it also for your own meditation. It can bring you some message, perhaps. Why do you like specific this butterfly? What tells me? Or why I don't like that color? What does that tell me? Where I am in this transformation? So this is a short meditation with this story. With butterflies and transformation. So I hope that it can give you some help also during this seminar. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for engaging your creativity in Krishna's service. Yes, I told yesterday the devotees when I was in the airplane coming from Berlin to here, I was really thinking I would like to make a difference in your life, something that you will take along with you and that you remember maybe, and when you go back a few years from now to this memory, you think, oh, I really learned something which was useful for my life. Before I start, I want to say I'm very happy to see devotees whom I usually don't see. I have not come here for 3 years, I understand, and I see also some devotees who I know since very long, who somehow or other we have not seen each other so regularly. I welcome all of you. I do hope I can reach you all spiritually and affect and give you something where you feel, oh yes, the relationship works. So many, many, many hopes we have for this class and the following class. I realize not all of you will be able to participate, but maybe you will feel inspired to listen to the other sections later. So let us sing a little. That's what we are very good in. Jaya Radha Madhava. Jaya Radha Madhava. Kunya Viya. Yeah.
Shravana Chari Daya Kunya Vihari Ravana Chari Jaya Kunya Vihari Jaya Yamuna Ravana Chari Jaya Kunya Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunya Vihari Krishna Vishtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Saminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvisesa Sunyavari Paskajyare Satarine Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adaita Gadadara Shivasadi Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. If you wish to transform your life, you need to transform your darshan or vision of life. During the Second World War, something very, very interesting happened. on the operation tables, that was just too wild or too crazy to be reported to the scientific community. Only about 30 years later, the doctor who experienced this phenomena on his surgery table dared to speak about it. What had happened? One doctor, I remember his name as Bethmann, but I'm not sure if this is correct, one day had to perform about 20 surgeries on people who had very heavy injuries, like losing part of their legs, being shot and losing vital organs. But on the morning, his nurse came to him and said, "Doctor, we have no morphium. It's all out." Those who know about surgery know that the human being can only take a certain amount of pain before the nervous system collapses. And to make a surgery like amputing a leg without heavy anesthesia is impossible and irresponsible, because the patient will not die because he lost half of his leg. He will die because a surgery was performed and he was not anesthetized properly. So Dr. Bethmann said, "Then we can't do any surgeries if we don't have morphium." The nurse said, "We have to do it. We have to save the life of these people. And I have a bad surprise. We are not getting morphium any longer from America because the Germans have cut the supply line." Then what should we do? Said Dr. Bethmann. "Well, you just inject the patient with water and tell them it's morphium. It will work. I tried it with my children." Wow! This was a bold woman. Dr. Bethmann saw no alternative. I mean, he knew he would lose the life of all these patients, so he got them all together and said, "Dear patients, you are all mortally wounded. I will have to perform surgery on you, and for this I will give you an injection of a high doses of morphium. And morphium switches out the nervous system, and in this way you can survive and tolerate the surgery. So just in case it would be too difficult, he had also some sticks ready. So the first patient went on. He had lost half of his leg. Dr. Bethmann said, "Okay." And he gave the injection. "You will now fall asleep. You will become a little nausea, and I will do the surgery. Just in case you feel some little pain, here's a stick. You can bite on it." He performed the surgery. It went all right. The patient still lives and can tell you the story. He performed 20 such surgeries after he had switched the vision. He had done something to the vision of these patients. He had told them, "I'm giving you morphium, you will be fully anesthetized." And as they switched this vision, they survived the surgery. My dear devotees, if you want to change your life and your reaction to life, you will have to also switch your vision, change your vision, your darshan. In the Bhagavad Gita, we learn that the living entity is made out of Shraddha, a faith, a vision, an understanding. We all live our lives based on our perspective, our Shraddha. Some of you live Krishna conscious lives. You are not yet happy and fulfilled, but your perspective is the process will work, and therefore you keep on going through your happiness and distress with that hope in the future everything will be all right. Seeing darshan means usually seeing the deities, standing the day before the deities, but it can also mean an insight or a comprehension, a lens through which you comprehend or understand your environment, and a lens through which you understand the events, the experiences which happen to you. My dear devotees, if you think the world is in a certain way, you are wrong. We don't see the world as it is. We see it as we are. We don't see the world as it is. We see it as we are. In Sanskrit, you call this Atmavan Manyate Jagat. According to how you are, that's how you see the Jagat, the universe. And Krishna, in the Bhagavad Gita, says this world is a place of suffering. Maybe you have heard this. Dukalayam Ashashvatam. But the sadhus tell us, Prabodhananda Sarasvati, Vishvam Purvam Sukhayakte, the whole universe is a place of the greatest happiness. We hear in the scriptures, this body is kleshada, it gives us misery. But we hear also in the Shastra, it's artada, it can give us the greatest benefit. What is it? Is the world a place of misery, or is it a place of the greatest happiness? It's both. If you see the world as a place of misery, good luck, you will see misery everywhere. If you see it as a place of opportunity, of the greatest happiness, I'm happy for you. You will see the world as happiness. If you see this body as kleshada, a thing which gives you only misery, you are right. If you see the world, or if another person sees the body as atada, giving the greatest benefit, he is right. Choose your perspective and you will choose your reality. This sounds very new agey. I know, we are just starting the lecture. Stay with me. Don't make an immediate judgment like some of us are very expert in. Just listen. Maybe you will learn something. Burijan Prabhu tells me his favorite story. It's about two twins.
Twins in
the Vojtchkis, yes. They were identical twins. They came from the same egg. Their father was a drunken criminal. Now one twin became a drunken criminal also. He was a messy. He was always, he lived only from one bottle of whiskey to the next. And he was prepared to steal. And the other twin was a surgeon, a doctor, who sometimes in his free time went to Africa to give treatment for free. So one journalist interviewed the two twins and said, he said to the first twin, remember that person who was socially not so competent, how did you become like this? And he said, how could I become anything else with a father like this? My father did criminal activities and he was a drunkard. So the same journalist went to the other twin. The twin means that other twin who had become a doctor and who was very charitable. And he asked, how did you become like this, like a doctor like this? And the doctor answered, how could I have become anything else with a father like this? One chooses to live his life in one direction because he had a certain perspective. The other thought, I choose to go with another. I interpret my genetic inheritance from another way. I saw how much misery it brings to myself and to others if I'm such a bad drunken person. Let me not do this. Let me learn from it. I become a doctor and help others. They had the same genealogical informations, right? Same. They came from the same father, same mother, same sperm, same DNA code, but they had a different darshan, a different vision. And that made all the difference. While I'm talking, I see some of your darshans going down. You have not enough oxygen. So we must request Madhuchanda. I know, why not open fully? If you need a jacket, I have. Because it's a little cold just next to it. Prabhupada, you look a little tired. Do a little breathing, no? Yes. The way you look at the world will change your entire life. And you know, if you want to change, you need to change your vision. I see many, many followers of spiritual movements. They are so negative towards the world, and then they're often negative towards each other. They see faults everywhere. And there are others who are just have chosen, I do not wish to be negative any longer. I don't like a negative perspective. I'm not interested to hear about the mistakes of others. Only if I absolutely have, then if it's helpful for others. And they live in a different universe, a different movement. For them, the Hare Krishna movement is the greatest opportunity. It's not a perfect movement, but it gives an opportunity. And for others who have a negative perspective, they just are locked in a cage of engaging with the faults of others. But do you know what? Krishna consciousness is not about what someone else does or does not do. It's about what you do in relationship to Krishna. So it's important to have the right vision. And if you meet genuine sadhus and you listen in a receptive mood to their instructions, your vision can easily change. There are different things, different triggers that trigger transformation. You know, in Bengal, I was once on Mayapur Parikrama. I don't know if I should. Anyway, so we walked by a rock candy field. Not rock candy, but is it sugar cane field? And they had just boiled a little bit of the sugar cane, and they had made it, not a little bit boiled, they had boiled it so long that it became molasses. You know molasses? Same word. So there was one Mataji. I think she was very hungry that morning. She just went, you know, where the farmers had this what's they're called, like walks, and she was so greedy to have this molasses that she fell in.